Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up that stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. Opened up all the Christmas presents this week, and I got some nice Disney things. What about you, Dan?
Yeah, got a few things here and there, but overall, it was a good Christmas.
Yeah, there's nothing. I love all my gifts. I got some beautiful things. I got some tools that I needed. I got everything I needed. It was wonderful. Everybody, all the family was in, and but there's something special about when you pop open them Disney gift card, isn't there?
Yeah. I was just going to say that. Whether they be Disney gift cards or any gift card for that matter, I love getting gift cards because, you know, then you can kind of pick and choose what you want. And I just remember a few years back, it was kind of frowned upon to give gift cards because it was like, oh, you couldn't spend
any time
getting me a gift or picking something out for me. But now in the world that we live in, it's great to get gift cards, you know, even online or whatever. You can get that, you know, perfect thing that you want and not get stuck with a red tie or something that you might not use. So, yeah, gift cards are awesome.
Absolutely, man. I got four or five sitting up in the rack already. I'm itching to use them. I can't. There's nothing like. And there's times where I want to use them because there'll be something at the Disney store or something like that, but they're only earmarked for Walt Disney World.
Yeah, and that's why I love them, and we've been using them for years to save for Disney trips, and now that I'm really not collecting Vinyl Nation anymore, which is a good thing, you know, I have no chance to use them. Once in a while, I'd grab some with the gift cards, which was dangerous because I'd dip into my vacation money. But now that I'm not collecting those, like I said, once they're on the gift card, that's money towards the vacation, and it's not touched until we go.
Oh, absolutely. Like, when I moved down to Florida, because I have, like, my office right now is half set up Disney, half regular. Yeah. When I move to Florida, there's going to be certain collectibles that I want to get and set up a certain room when we set up the new podcasting studios down there.
Right.
And there would be like the Vinyl Nation you gave me, the Epcot one.
Yep.
I love that. Now, I would like to have one for each park, and I could be done with that now. Like, I'm getting smarter with how I collected. Like, I used to collect the NASCARs, and I had to get every one. I got too many. Ones that I didn't even need to get.
Right, and that's what I did. I downsized my collection, but I probably have a dozen or so special ones for whatever reason that I kept and I display in my office. So, there's a way you can do it and still participate in collecting, but like you said, not go crazy and collect everything that they release.
Did you sell a bunch of your Vinyl Nations?
Yeah. I did. Over the past couple of months, I've kind of got out of the whole thing. I sold some, I traded some, but for the most part, I'm not actively collecting anymore.
Well, that's all. I mean, that's good that you did that. Like I said, I did the same thing with the NASCAR. Like, instead of collecting the ones I just wanted, I would also buy ones that I thought would be valuable. Then they meant nothing to me because they weren't my favorite driver. I didn't like the car particularly. I was trying to buy it as an investment, and then it turned into not as much fun. Now you're stressing over, if I missed that one, it could be worth something instead of just the fun of collecting.
Right. Yeah, and that's kind of what happened. I mean, everybody has, anybody that collects anything, whether it be Vinyl Nation or NASCAR or whatever, you know, they get into it and say, well, gee, I want that one. But if I pick up a couple extras, I can sell them and it'll pay for the one I bought. And, you know, inevitably, sometimes that works out. But other times you get stuck with ones that you thought were going to be popular or be, you know, people would want. And, you know, you can't give them away, basically. So
exactly. I have cars I paid $50 for that are worth $3. Then I have other cars that I paid $50 for that are worth $300. But the bottom line is, your favorite saying in Bob's, at the end of the day, I end up breaking even.
Right.
And the NASCAR company is the one that made it. Exactly. But, you know, I'll sell one for $3 and lose for $300 and then have 10 that are worth only $3 now. So, you know, you know, you're, like you said, you're lucky if it equals out.
Well, the old saying in collectibles is they're only worth what somebody is willing to actually pay you for them, right?
Exactly. But now, like the one that you gave me of Epcot, that's priceless to me. It means something.
Right.
And the Phillies one. And I'm sure you kept the Patriots one that I sent you.
I'm looking at it right now.
Because it has a story behind it.
Right. Yes, exactly. And that's what, you know, in my view, that's what makes collectibles fun. And when you try to make a business out of it or try to make money off it, that's when it usually goes astray on you, because that, generally speaking, never works out.
Exactly. Give them salt and pepper shakers you got me a few months ago on your trip.
Right.
I loved them. They mean something to me. And what I like about them, they don't have to just be in the kitchen. They could be in my office like they are. But I want to get the one with the Magic Kingdom. I like to get different parks, but it ain't like I'd be collecting it for myself because I like it, not to try to unload it. And that's the main thing.
It's all good. And, you know, if you do it in moderation, like anything else, it can be a fun thing. And, you know, like I've told the story before, when we had our collectible show, that's what kind of kept me going in between Disney trips, was, you know, collecting and meeting people and going to little collectors, you know, nights here and there that they'd have. And that's a way to keep the Disney magic alive in between trips.
But now we have this podcast, then, and it don't cost us as much as the Final Nation, just our time.
Right. Oh, yeah, all this entertainment is free.
Yep. I mean, we have a few hundreds of dollars worth of computer applications and stuff like that. And
software. And
yeah, but once you buy it all, we're pretty good. Like right now, we're running pretty good.
Exactly.
No, bless God, please.
Yeah, don't jinx it.
Don't jinx us. Did you see I Was a Good Boy for Christmas?
What are we referring to?
I think I got the Disney gift cards because I made the family cookies this year.
Oh, yes, I did see those. Yeah, you were cooking up a storm there around Christmas time.
Yeah, I made between 8 and 10 dozen cookies myself.
Holy moly.
Yeah, I did 4 dozen of four, maybe almost 5 dozens of chocolate chips. I did 2.5 dozen of these the gingerbread. I did these balls, like, and I dipped them in sugar and fresh cinnamon.
Yeah.
And then I did I did the peanut butter with they had these chocolate stuffed peanut butter morsels that were in them.
Wow, them sound delicious. I mean, as you know, you just did it. When you're into that mode and you got everything out, you might as well go for the gusto and make a bunch of them, because it's a mess anyways, right?
Go big or go home, man.
Exactly.
That's the way I looked at it. I was going to do oatmeal raisin, but after I had all them done, it took me like... Plus, I helped my mother-in-law, because we had some things going on this year. Thank goodness my sister-in-law is okay. She had a little bit of a scare, and everything worked out with her, and everything that was going on with me, and... We had some things going on, so my mother-in-law, everybody wasn't in the Christmas spirit as much as they should be, so that's why I decided to make the cookies, and Mom wasn't even going to make hers, and she makes the butter cookies every year. She's been making them since I met my wife in 91.
Right. It's kind of like tradition. Right?
Exactly, so she wasn't going to make them. So I got her in the kitchen, too, so we even made a couple dozen of hers. I helped her do hers, and then I went on to my 8 or 9 dozen, whatever the heck I ended up making. So I end up making over 10 dozen cookies at the end of the day.
You selling those things or what?
No, but I did take my wonderful customer, Miss Zimmerman, who I'm remodeling her bathroom. And she's the one I was working on. I give him mic plugs for Magical Mouse Radio, listening to you, blah, blah, blah. Right. But she's a sweet elderly lady who I've become friends with, which I usually do with my customers. And so I took her over a tin full, and she couldn't stop. She loved it, just the thought of it. And we took them to brother and sister-in-laws. I was a pretty big hit this year. I have to admit, they came out pretty darn good. I was proud of myself.
Yeah,
First time I ever made cookies.
Good job on that. I mean, I was just thinking, I know you normally don't eat that stuff. I'm saying, what is he going to freeze them, or what is he going to do with them all? But now it makes sense that you had some plans as to how you were going to disperse them.
Yeah, the biggest thing is, you make up a batch, and that's how much comes out. I wanted the house to smell like Christmas.
Right, right.
I wanted my wife to come home from work and have a smile on her face, because they've been few and far between so far. They were all Christmas long, there was plenty of smiles. Ever since that night on, we've been smiling. But the point is, I was trying to get us jump started into that Christmas spirit.
Right, right. Well, you did a great job at it. I did see the pictures on Twitter, and they got a lot of retweets and stuff. People were really liking them.
They were good. I was proud. And did you get to, speaking of the Christmas spirit, did you get to see the Disney parade?
You know, you just mentioned it, and my daughter asked me what time it was on, like a couple days before, and we talked about it, and that's the last time I thought about it until just now when you mentioned it. So the short answer is no, I did not.
Oh, I'm sad. How did that happen, Dad?
Yeah, this is like the first one I've ever missed. Maybe it'll be on demand or something, and I can catch it. But did you actually watch it, or just kind of have it on in the background?
It was on in the background, but it's actually playing right now as we're recording. I record it every year. It's actually set as with this Xfinity X1. I have it set to record every year, but I double check. It's like it's always on my mind, man.
Right. I know we talked about this before. I'm kind of soured on the Disney parade, because it's not really a parade anymore, more like a performance. And I kind of enjoyed it back when, what's his name? The guy that retired used to do it.
Regis Philbin?
Yeah, back when he did it. I mean, I know there were some folks that did it before him, but, you know, I know they got to get their different people that they're promoting, and might have an album from Disney Channel coming out, but you know, they actually used to come off as an actual parade, and now it seems to be less and less of that and more of the other stuff. So I still enjoy it because it's Disney, but I don't enjoy them as quite as much as the maybe 10 years ago or something like that.
Now I get you. To each his own. Like my mother-in-law, she loves the older style parades. Now me, everybody knows in the show, I'm not a parade person.
Right, right.
So more Disney rides and shows and Alani Village and all that they could show me, the happier I am. So it's actually going to a better play. Like, I like to see the toy soldiers and a little bit of it all. But I like when Samantha Brown shows you what ride she's going on, or one of the stars like Jennifer Goodwin, she's on showing you the new Disney Zootopia, the new movie out. And so I'm into the news about what's going on at Disney.
Yeah, and I don't mind the commercials, which is basically what it is. It's a two-hour-long commercial, because you're right. Any bit of Disney is good Disney. And, even if you don't like parades, I would think that the fact that, you're in between trips.
Awesome.
Any little morsel of Disney, even though we all know it's not live, it's taped. I think they taped it in, what, November this year?
Yeah, November, the first week of December. I think it was a little later this year when they taped it.
Yeah, it was either earlier or later, but it was off a couple of weeks. It has been tradition in the past with us, but we didn't even turn the TV on, and we had Christmas music playing in the background, so we just went with the Christmas music and never turned it on.
Yeah, you should try to catch it on demand. It was good, though. Like, they had some really, to me, and I could be wrong, but it was nice that they had some different, like they had Wreck-It Ralph. They had the Wreck-It Ralph with the girl in the car racing down Main Street, she was in her car going back and forth, and Ralph. And they had some other characters this year that I don't remember last year. But, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I could have missed them. But I noticed more this year.
Did they have any Star Wars in the parade?
Not that I can remember, Dan, like I said, but I was off and on.
Right, right.
So I'm watching it live right now, and it's awesome. Like, just to get Robin Roberts with the castle in the background made me happy.
Right, right.
You know, Ariana Grande singing in front of the castle. It isn't about her singing. It's more about just, like, the car going down Main Street, looking at the Main Street confectionery, looking at all the different stores. What's the big store? Your favorite.
Oh, the Emporium?
The Emporium. Yeah. Looking at the Emporium pictures. You know, that's the stuff that I love.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because, like you said, you know, even though you know it's not live, still it's like a snapshot into the Magic Kingdom, and you know, you don't get that too often, you know, in between trips. So yeah, that's all good.
You get to see your fellow homeowners at Disney Vacation Club, the advertisement.
Right.
Yeah, you can talk to them. So, but no, I enjoy watching it every year. I really do.
Yeah, like I said, it isn't that I don't enjoy it, and like I said, I don't think I've missed one, and I mean, I remember when they used to do the Easter Parade. I really enjoyed that, too, and I'm kind of sad that that's gone away, but I enjoyed the Easter Parade better than the Christmas one, for whatever reason.
I hear you. Well, because it was kind of extra.
Right.
It was off the beaten path. It wasn't like you expected every year. But I wish... See, this is to get into another point that we didn't plan on getting into. These are the things that I don't understand why Disney don't do more of on the Disney Channel. Like, why wouldn't they take advantage and do an Easter parade on the Disney Channel?
Yeah, they don't have to put it on ABC, you're right. You know, have other shows not be on or whatever. I mean, you would think they have all the time in the world to put it on the Disney Channel. Or, like we've been advocating, start a second channel with Classic Disney. And, you know, they could do live events like an Easter parade or other things that happen around the Disney parks that, you know, people would watch for sure.
Yeah, like a perfect example would be like yesterday or Christmas Day, like the parks were to capacity.
Right.
And they know it's going to be live. And I mean, you know it's going to be packed and everybody, there's a sellout crowd. Why not maybe do some live viewing from the parks?
You mean like a cam or something?
Yeah,
like
they have the cameras where it would be up close. It could be showing some of the performers. It could show the parade live on the Disney Channel during the Christmas Day parade on Christmas Day.
Right.
Show Santa Claus. I mean, take advantage of it. When the parks are full, they ain't got nothing to lose, and they could sell advertisement for that.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, I'm pretty sure, and I could be wrong. I think if you go online, you can look at those cameras. I think don't they have a website or something where you can log on and see a camera at Main Street, Epcot?
Have them, and there's a YouTube channel that has some of that. But my point is for people like my mother-in-law, families, friends that don't have that the capability to do all that.
Right.
How about just allow you to just turn its TV station on and be able to see it?
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'd look at it.
Yeah, I mean, it would be pretty cool. Like, on certain special events that they know is going to be crowded, and there's people around the world at Christmas that people just don't go to Disney on Christmas because there's traditions that they do themselves. Where if you could just turn that on, it would be a human advertisement for the parks. I would love to see something like that.
Yeah, there must be a reason why they don't. I'm not sure what it is, but...
They think the crowds will stay away, but... I don't think right now, with the popularity of Disney and the economy starting to come back, I don't see their parks having any problems for the near future. Do you, Dan?
No.
Foreseeable future.
People are basically throwing money at them at this point, and you're right. I don't see that changing anytime soon with all the new stuff coming online over the next 3 to 5 years. So, yeah, they're good.
No, they're golden right now. I mean, I can't wait. I think I have the family... talked into going next Christmas.
Nice. Did you do some recon work over
everybody was saying let's go away next year, and then somebody brought up Myrtle Beach. I was like, don't even think about it. We'll do a 4-day weekend there. No, I'm going away for the week for Christmas.
Right.
You know where I'm going.
Yeah, that would kill me to go to Myrtle Beach and know you're only, you know, two states away and then not go to Disney World. That'd be tough.
Yeah, Dougie'd be leaving at the stroke of midnight.
Yeah.
The family trucks would be fired off. I'd be going to see Mickey. We got to seriously talk about that first week of December for next year.
Absolutely. Sounds awesome.
That's my goal, my dream, to have we'll be having some bangers and mash together then.
Yeah, that would be good. So. Stop making the ADRs in 6 months.
Exactly. Exactly. I was Bob from All in WDW fooled me too. I thought he was saying that was the restaurant of the year, and here he was showing pictures of that, and he was saying the Boathouse was.
Oh.
He kind of end around to me, and I agree with him, and I realize that's where I didn't read the fine print. I was wrong.
I remember that. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
But, we want to wish just going along with the continue. I hope everybody in the WDW Main Street family had a merry and blessed Christmas. Everybody had a safe and sound holiday, and I hope Hope all of our listeners have the greatest of New Year's, and all of our fans, our friends, I mean, not our fans or listeners.
Right.
Because we got a ton of new friends at the show, Dan. I mean, with you being out, I really appreciated Carmen from Peas and Carrots and Bob and John and everybody and Pat and all the well wishes we got. It's really nice how our family's growing, isn't it, Dan?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it started out with just two of us or three of us, and it's grown by leaps and bounds. And, it is amazing. You know, you don't realize it, but gradually over time, more and more people are listening and interacting with us on social media, and it's been an awesome ride.
Yeah. Why they like us, I don't know, but let's keep it up, Dan.
Yeah, right.
So there's only a little bit of news this week. You want to jump on that real quick?
Yeah, just a few things going on here. Disney and Pixar Short Film Festival opens at Epcot. Let's see here. It has opened in Future World over now. Oh, they got a nice picture of flowers here. Reminds me of spring. But anyways, it's going to be located in the Magic Eye Theater at the Imagination Pavilion. And the attraction will give guests a chance to view three animated shorts in 3D. Currently playing are Get a Horse for the Birds and La Luna. Let's see, Disney and Pixar Short Film Festival is open each day from park open to park close, and it is included in extra magic hours in the evening. And this is obviously the new experience that replaces Captain EO.
That's a happy new year for me.
Yes, that's the best gift of all that Disney could have gave you. They got rid of Captain EO. And
again, I like Michael. I have nothing against him or anything. I just thought that was so long in the tooth. And it wouldn't even have bothered me. It was only supposed to be brought back for a few months. Remember?
Yeah. It was temporary. You know, 2.5 years or whatever.
I think it was 4 years then.
Was it really?
It's been since he passed.
Yeah, time flies.
It's been a while, man, because, well, think about it. How long has it been? You've been down, you've been back for how long from your, it's over a year.
Yeah, you know, you're right. It didn't seem that long to me, but,
I bet it's been 4 or 5 years that's been in. It was only supposed to be a few months.
Right. Well, they obviously didn't know what they were doing, but, it's nothing great, if you will, but I think this is something new, and the signage looks nice and all nice and spiffy, and it's just something different to do that they didn't offer before, and, you know, there should be a place where you can see these short films and, cartoons or what have you, so, it's all good. I mean, I got to believe that in the long run, this will go away. This is just kind of a stopgap, but, we shall see.
I think the reason they did this, too, is because the Soarin' shut down very soon.
Yeah, they got to put people somewhere, right?
Exactly, and they had to have something new because Captain EO was not going to do it.
No.
At least now for the next year or so, with people, us going down and all, the frequent once or twice a year people, you'll have something new.
Right.
You'll be. I'll definitely be looking forward to this now. Now, if Soarin' went down and Captain EO wasn't there, I mean there's two things that are gone from that whole area.
Right. Yeah, it'd be kind of barren over there on that side of Future World. So, yeah, I mean they had to do something, and obviously this is something that didn't take a lot of time or money, if you will. They just need, seats and a screen and stuff like that. So, I mean, there's, like I said, it's nothing great. It's not an attraction. Now, whether they put, it'll be interesting to see how it's laid out, whether it's just a plain old movie theater or whether they have some other, offerings in there. I don't know what they would be, but
they probably have some signage and some things about what that ride is, if you understand, like what the movies are. Something pertaining to the characters of all these movies and props and maybe some little odds and ends. I'm sure they just didn't leave it totally vanilla, but I'm really looking forward to it because I'm hoping – I wouldn't even mind something like this staying because we talked on our year-end show, our Christmas party show, that there needs to be somewhere where Disney shows movies.
Right.
That's what it all started with, a movie. Snow White and all that, you know what I mean? Then the Seven Dwarfs and Mickey Mouse and
you would think. I mean, we talked about this on one of our shows. I mean, as you remember, they used to at the on Main Street there behind the where the Magic Man place is on the right, where the Mickey Mouse meet and greet is in the back there that used to show. And you know that little theater in the back? You walk around and you could always see, you know, cartoons playing, the old Mickey cartoons. And then up on the right, if you're heading towards the castle, they used to play cartoons in there as well. I don't think they do that anymore, unless I'm mistaken. You know the little place I'm talking about on the right, like between the bakery and the
Exactly, yeah. There used to be a little movie theater there, and that's no longer there anymore. They moved that up towards Main Street, but then the meet and greet took it over. They moved it up towards the front, but I haven't seen it in the last few years. Now, I could be wrong. Lou might yell at us and say, it's right over here. But I haven't seen it. But the point is, like, there should be somewhere other than Muppet. I mean, than your favorite ride, Phil Her Magic.
Right.
That's
right.
The only really movie thing in the whole parks right now. Besides the movies in Epcot, the World Showcase movies. But I'm talking actual a Disney style cartoon or Pixar. You know, that's the only thing in the park is that.
Yeah. I mean, I must say, all the times over the years when they were playing the movies on Main Street, you know, I'd stop in there, and a lot of times it would be just because you get into the air conditioning, and or maybe you're waiting for somebody to, you know, get out of an attraction that you didn't go on or something. It was never very full or anything. It was just like a splattering of people, if you will. So that's probably why. I mean, it doesn't really suck up the people. It's not like somebody's going to sit down and watch the whole Jungle Book, you know, in the middle of the day at the park. But it was just nice to know that it was there, and you could.
It was an old standby. It was like it was like we talked about it. It was one of the off the beaten path things that makes Disney Disney.
Right, right.
You know, there's this here and there all over the place. Like if you remember, like Club Cool's not great, but if they removed that, I'd be sad too. It's a little small thing that's like now it's an Epcot staple to me.
Yeah, and especially with the Beverly
exactly.
And all that, it's kind of like a
it's basically Beverly.
Right.
But I would miss it if it was gone, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. And I think the fact that, you know, Coke sponsors it is the reason it doesn't go away, because it's great advertisement for them. And, you know, you hear about, you know, anyone that's in the Disney community can tell a Beverly story. So it's kind of one of those things that it you're right. It's got like folklore to it or something. You know?
And it's the same thing as the movie theater was on Main Street. It's never packed. I mean,
right.
There's been so many times where me, Brenda, and Mom, or me and Brenda's been in there with maybe two or three other people.
Right.
I mean, have you ever been in there where you really waiting in line?
Oh, no, never. Yeah. Never waited in line. I mean, you could just walk in and sit down, but that was kind of the fun of it.
Exactly.
You know, I remember the cartoons on Main Street, and I forget which. It was the theater, I think, up in the right or whatever, the Mickey Mouse Theater, whatever they called it. I forget. But, you know, they'd play 7 or 8 cartoons on a continuous loop, basically, and you know,
old black and white
and
Mickey.
Yeah, exactly.
And I enjoyed them. I liked it. Like it wasn't an every trip deal, but if it was kind of like Pinocchio Village. Sometimes I forget it's there, or Pinocchio Heart, you know, Village House.
Village House, yeah.
I forget it's there sometimes. When I remember it, I was happy. I would go in. It's the same thing with the movie theater. Like we'd be all hyper, but then all of a sudden we'd be roaming back down Main Street and we'd duck in.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, I think what happened is, you know, real estate is precious, particularly on Main Street. And I think, like, it used to be all pins in the, not the Emporium, but on the other side, the Exposition Hall, I believe, or they used to call it the Exposition Hall. It's all Magic Bands and stuff now. But in the front there, when pin trading was big, it used to be all pins. And, like you said, they set it up now where they do the Mickey Mouse meet and greet in the back there, and it's real estate. I guess they just figure they can make better use of the real estate, selling Magic Bands or providing photo pass service. I think either is there or used to be there where you get your pictures and stuff. And I don't know. It's just different. You know, the times have changed and they've done different things in these menus now.
Yeah, well, I'm really looking forward to it because you know, Pixar, the shorts are going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah so, they always are.
Yeah, so it's going to be very entertaining, especially if they change them out every year. Because I know it's hard to change them out every few months because you got to give everybody a chance to see them.
Right, right.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we're down once, twice a year, so it's hard to, you know, you want to make sure you get to see it. So I'm really, really looking forward to this because it's something new at Epcot.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if you're waiting for Soren for a fast pass or something like that, well, actually, that won't work because he'll be under construction. It'll be closed. But if they do maintain this after Soren reopens or whatever, or even now before it closes down for renovations or whatever, you could wait there for your fast pass and enjoy a short film.
Yeah, speaking of Soren, I see. Did you see the video? There was some video online. I seen it on the Disney travel page. They were showing how they were filming for the new one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's the same one you're talking about. I've seen one a couple of months ago that showed, like, the, you know, how they do it. And was it the one with the helicopter flying with the camera lying below it?
And this, I
did see that.
And this one here had, because I seen a couple, this one here had some narration from my course representative because I'm doing my annual assessment. I've been taking that, and it shows you some of the enhancements coming to the park and stuff like that for the new year.
Right.
So it was really pretty cool seeing how they filmed everything, and soaring over the world through the wonders of the world is going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I mean, we've all been clamoring for this for years now, and we're finally going to get it, so I'm sure they'll do an awesome job.
Yeah, and they also, like I said, I wonder if that's going to be out when this is refurbed on. I wonder if they're going to have the actual new movie ready, because I haven't heard exactly that. Have you?
I have not, but I'd be shocked if they closed it to go under construction and reopen it with the old movie. Mm-hmm. I would think they'd sync both of those things up, wouldn't you?
I'm 90% sure, but 99% sure, but you know what I'm saying. Right. I just haven't heard for sure that movie's going to be released with the reopening of Soren.
Yeah, I mean, just think of the great buildup there'll be, you know, once it closes. I mean, people will be disappointed that are, you know, going there during that time because it's a very popular attraction. But the buildup is, you know, stay tuned for, you know, the new and improved soaring around the world or over the world. You know, they'll get a lot of run for that and you know, they'll promote the heck out of it, I'm sure, and rightfully so, because it'll be a huge draw for people that, you know, either haven't been in a while, or even if they've been, they're going to want to see that new movie.
Yeah, one of the cool things will be is, I mean, when that reopens and Avatar Land's open, it ought to equal out maybe some of the crowds, because believe it or not, I think Soren reopening will draw a lot of people to it.
Oh, yeah, because it's already, you know, extremely popular, and, you know, Soaring, you know, it's a fun ride, and, you know, we've said it before, the fact that, you know, almost anybody can go on it. You know, it's a thrill ride, but yet it's not so thrilling that it scares some people away. So it's got a wide appeal to all age groups. So that in itself makes it a very popular attraction.
Yeah, the only person I've ever seen scared on that was my sister-in-law, and I could not believe it. My brother Mark's wife, we all went down with the family, and her name's Donna, too.
Right.
She literally sat on that poor thing. I felt horrible for her. Her head was smashed sideways back against the side like she was trembling on it.
Right.
The heights, like, literally scared the bejesus out of her. And we're telling her it's no big deal because you're thinking that it's like she was thinking that it was going to rock and move because it's a hang glider. And we're like, Donna,
right.
No, you just hang. It's no big deal. I promise you, you're not going to be scared at all. And I couldn't believe when we got her up on that because I think it's timid. Once you're raised, it's over with.
Right. Well, but they do, not that they scare you, they got to do it for legal reasons or whatever, but they even say, you know, anybody that's afraid of heights or whatever, there's a spiel there that they give. And, you know, for somebody that's afraid of heights, that just probably gets them even more amped up. So I guess I get it, but you're right. I mean, but although I do remember when the first time I went on it, I held the armrest, if you will. I mean, now I just sit there with my hands folded in my lap and enjoy it. But, you know, it took many rides on it before I felt comfortable enough doing that until I knew that it didn't really move that much, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was, because me, I'm in construction. The only way I'm afraid of heights is if I have to be unsafe.
Right.
But
right.
You could have me. I worked in the gallery in Philadelphia. They had me on a swing pulley because what happened was they couldn't put lifts on the floors anymore because all the floors were new and they couldn't drive across the tile, so they actually put me on this, like, had a crane with like a swing on it where you strapped me in and they lifted me up, and I had a fix. There was some settlement. When they removed these beams in there, there were structures, support structures that had to be tape coated and finished. They were like these five small areas. So they had me up on this swing and this harness. And dude, I was like 50, 60 feet in the air.
Oh, man.
Flying around. And I was fine with that because I knew I was safe. But now, I wouldn't be if I'm hanging up there without a rail, or you know what I'm saying. There's certain times where I'm nervous on things where, like right now, I wear stilts all the time. And over the past few years, on these big buildings, like when you wear stilts in a house, you're okay because you have walls. I'm not afraid of the heights at all. But when you wear them on these big commercial buildings, you'll be in these wide open spaces where if you fall, there's nowhere to fall. Like, at least if you stumble in a house, you can run over to a wall, or if you're doing a store. But when they're real big, well, if the job's cluttered with trash and crap, I won't get on them no more.
Yeah,
and they'll get mad at me, but it's like I've seen too many people get hurt on them, and nobody stands behind them anymore.
Right, right.
You have to literally fight your way out if you follow me. So
that's crazy.
So no, I literally won't get, I won't do that no more. So I don't know. I mean, I just get nervous sometimes with it. I know people get nervous on any kind of heights.
Yeah, I mean, some people, you know, that's, people are just different. And, you know, just like my fear of the Tower of Terror. I mean, you know, a lot of people say, oh, what do you, you know, that's nothing. You should go on it. And it probably is nothing. I'd probably enjoy it if I did go on it. But it's just something that doesn't appeal to me.
Yeah, you'd be, it's better than what you think. It's smoother than what you think, too. It's more of a pull and a push than a drop, really.
Yeah, and I try to psych myself out because I did see that, you know, promo, the behind the scenes, I forget what it was, and they, oh yeah, it was that thing, you know, those Disney shows that are on once in a while, like they go in depth in one of the parks, and that was one of the things. I said, well, the thing about the Tower of Terror is you're not dropping, you're being pulled at a greater speed than, you know, gravity, and that's why you have this sensation, but you're being pulled down, not let go, and, you know, kind of like free falling, like they try to make you think that you are.
Yeah. Well, next, yeah, absolutely, and it's smoother than what you think, and I think you would enjoy it. But next trip, if we're all down there for Christmas together, or me and you do that road trip you keep bugging me for,
you're gonna get me in trouble.
We'll both do the chicken accent.
Nah, well, maybe if you were there, I'd have to man up and do it, right? Maybe you'd talk me into it.
Yeah, the only problem is between me and you, if I did hurt my back, I'd be getting what for when I got home.
Right. Then she'd never let you go again.
No,
so,
exactly.
Yeah,
it'd be punished.
Do that.
I can't act out when I'm on my own without my mommy watching me.
Right.
But Soarin' is closing next Monday. Not this Monday here.
It is.
Next Monday, January 4th, it's closing. And it will be open summer of 2016. So I'm pretty sure the movie will be in there with that long of a closing.
Yeah, I would think so. Because, like I said, and it may not be the same one, but the filming little video that you referred to earlier, I saw that like, I'm going to say maybe 6 months ago. So I'm going to guess the filming, if it's not done, it's pretty near done. I mean, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's done. I'm like pretty sure they're just splicing, cutting, and getting the track done to it. And
yep.
The crazy part is we're saying nothing's going on at Epcot. And Bob Sikon, our good buddy, he thinks that's going to be the next one on the refurbishment list. And I do agree with him. But if you think about it, and I know you'll give it the fair chance and go look at it, but this year alone, then, before our next trip down, if we all don't go till Christmas,
right?
Besides River of Lights and Avatar Land, there should be, River of Lights will definitely be open, and Avatar Land should be having openings of, I don't think the whole thing's going to be open, but I think it'll start, certain parts will be open.
Right.
So you're going to have that. But then at Epcot, by the time we get back down, we're going to have this new Pixar movie, Disney and Pixar movie thing. You're going to have Maelstrom going to be open this spring. And then you're also going to have Soarin' reopen. There's going to be quite a little bit of new stuff, too, at the at Epcot.
Yeah, and on a smaller scale, I mean, whatever they decide to do with the Lumberjacks, unless they just don't have any live performances, there may be something coming there in the near future.
Absolutely. I mean, so there's going to be quite a bit of stuff. And like you just said, there's going to be things that we don't even know that's going to come between now and then.
Right.
Because you know how Disney does these pop, like this. The movie thing was out of nowhere.
Right.
You were hearing
right.
nothing about it. The next thing you know, within 2 months, or I don't know the exact times, guys, so keep your tweets to yourself. I know I'm probably wrong, but it seemed like within a couple months it was open, didn't it?
Right, right. Yeah, they're pulling Disney Springs on us. Just like every couple of weeks, there's a new restaurant opening up down there. So, you know, some of them we heard about for months on end, and others we never heard a thing about them.
Yeah, and that's the crazy thing. I mean, we're going to have multiple restaurants, because you were just down there, and I missed a couple of them, but there's going to be multiple restaurants that are opened up for both of us that we haven't tried yet. Down at Disney Springs. It was Disney Springs by the time we go back down. It'll be completely done. From everything I'm reading, or darn close. So we're going to have all that, which I don't know. Honestly, I don't know if I could do what I wanted to do in almost a week at Disney Springs now with all the stuff there is down there.
I know. It's like, too bad. We might have to extend that trip to 10 days now.
Exactly. And then you're going to have Maelstrom and Soarin' and this new movie and then River of Lights, and you're going to have Avatar Land. I mean, and it's crazy I'm saying Avatar Land last, because I'm really psyched about that.
Right, like it's a throw-in, you know?
Yeah, a whole land.
Right.
So, I mean...
Well, I mean, I don't know if you saw them pictures of the floating rocks, but they, I mean, that's... Did you see the construction? I mean, it wasn't a close-up, but the way they welded everything together or riveted everything together, I mean, those rocks are literally out there floating. It looked awesome.
I can't wait, dude. That's one of my dreams. That's one of the other reasons why I want to move while I can still move, per se. Because I want to be... I'm hoping and praying to get a job as far as with the union down there doing something to put my stake on the park.
Right, right. Just so you can always say that, you know, hey, I helped build that, or I did this, or I did that. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, like, it's awesome. We have this local Gloucester, the shops in Gloucester County, these new this new big outlet mall we made.
Right.
You know, and they did a wonderful job. Like, there's an outside fire pit. You know, you got all your normal outlet stores, Nike, Reebok, you know, Crocs, you know, you name it, Famous. Yep. There's a ton of stores in there. But the way they designed it, they did a really good time. They made it like a town square walking area.
Right.
Where it's a kind of a place you want to just go roam around. And even that is, it's nice to go over there and show my wife and my mother-in-law, I did all these stores. It's just cool to say I did it. The same thing with the Revel. It's nice to, because I can't take people in the houses that I do, if you follow me. I just can't show up at a house and say, yo, Miss Zimmerman, let my wife see your bathroom.
Right, right.
It don't go that way.
No, that's a good point. It's a, you know, a public place, if you will, and a place where, you know, thousands of people enjoy every day, and you can take people by and show them, you know, what you did.
Yeah.
And especially imagine if it was Disney World. I mean, you'd be giving guided tours.
Oh, exactly. I'd be like, I did this shop. I really, really did this shop. And it was awesome. So, yeah, if I could work anywhere down there, Dan, I'd be happy to show off.
Oh, yeah. It would be great to, you know, look at a brochure, or even look at it live, say, yeah, I did that, or you could put your own little hidden Mickeys in there if you could get away with it, right?
Oh, I'd do something. Believe me, I'd be showing everybody. I could have the littlest store in the shop. If I worked in the Ye Olde Christmas shop or something like that, I'd be doing guided tours.
Yep.
I taped right behind that bookshelf. I taped behind over there. I did that wall, you know?
Yep, that would be awesome.
I'd be a happy kid, man. What's next in the news, Dan, before we keep filler busting?
Yeah, no, I think that's pretty much it. I mean, we talked about the parks, obviously, are ramping up. They reach capacity at least once, and I would expect them to reach capacity going forward up until including New Year's Eve, right?
Oh, absolutely. This whole week is the crazy week.
Yeah,
If I could be down there, I'd be happy, but I wouldn't pick this to be my week. If we lived there and I had an annual pass, I might try to sneak over one night to just be a wallflower.
Right, right. Just a people watch.
Yeah, maybe take some pictures of decorations and make people guess that aren't there.
Right,
you know, stuff like that, like they were doing the other day online. Like, I enjoy that. I have two of my good friends, that my buddy Rob, every year he does the school trip.
He tries
to stomp me every year, and he gets so mad because he can't.
Is that when they, for Jersey Week, they go down?
Yeah, they go in March. It's graduation, the senior class. Week's in the fall.
Oh, okay.
But they go with all the whole Northeast with all the school vacations, different weeks they go down. And he's one of the chaperones for the school.
Oh, okay.
So whenever he does rides or he'll take a picture of something obscure and he can't believe I get it every time.
Oh, yeah, I remember you were tweeting back and forth with him last year or whenever it was, and he couldn't stump you.
No, and then they were doing it the other day with Carmen and us, and I answered a couple. They were doing it online with the Christmas decoration. So I would enjoy doing stuff like that, but this week here, I would never, ever want to be there. I mean, I would stay in a resort. I wouldn't say never, ever, but I'd be happier just hanging out over at the Contemporary or Riverside and just bringing in the new year with my wife, walking around the Sascoula River.
Yeah, that sounds like it'd be the better play. Like you said, it might be good to do once just to say you've done it, during New Year's Eve or something like that. But, I don't think I would enjoy that. Similarly, I wouldn't enjoy going to Times Square either.
No, never,
on
ever,
New Year's
ever.
Eve. I mean, I've heard horror stories about people that are there, hours in advance, and you can't get out to use the facilities and all that. And why put yourself through that? I just can't see doing that.
No, me and Brent, I would have a blessed, wonderful time just hanging at hanging in at Riverside, going in to see Yeehaw Bob at the River Roost, or maybe if it's really crowded, just get some drinks out at Muddy Rivers and sit around the pool area.
Yeah, that would be nice, and I would think there wouldn't be too many people around. I mean, even the resorts are probably, fairly busy, to capacity.
But
and all
it would
that,
never be, like, claustrophobic. You could always find a nook or a cranny at one of the resorts to just chill.
Particularly at Riverside, it's so spread out. You're right. I'm sure you could find a nice little spot to enjoy bringing in the new year.
Yeah, you could even take a blanket and sit along the Sascoula River there.
Yeah, as long as an alligator don't come by, you'll
he's
be
not
fine.
Coming by there. But you know what I mean. Get it? That would be a romantic night, wouldn't it? Get a picnic basket, throw a nice towel or a nice blanket out there, have a couple drinks, and sit along the Sascoula River watching the boats go up and down.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
That'd be fine by me, man. Just as long I'd be happy to be there like that.
Yep, just to be on property would be nice.
Yeah, they did have the news, too, about the pins, Dennis. I mean, with Disney Experience.
Yeah, I was just looking at that, and that's what you were referring to. But basically, the new version of My Disney Experience will allow guests to add their own pin. Currently, or formerly, you used to have to go to guest services at your resort or something like that to have them reset the pin. But they've rolled out a way in which you can reset your pin, basically whenever you want or whenever you have to. So, as we knew when when My Disney Experience was rolled out, that it was kind of a base program and that they would enhance it and make tweaks as they went along. And this looks like that it's one of those tweaks. And again, if, this saves you a little time that you don't have to go to the front desk of your resort or whatever, and you can do it yourself, I guess that's a step in the right direction.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, anything that you could fix without having to get help is a step in the right direction, because again, as we talk about, it's time.
Right.
And if you're nervous about doing it, you can still go to guest relations and get help. Disney will always help you with everything. They don't think they're trying to avoid helping you, but I think they're trying to make it more convenient, because one thing Disney does do, they do at the most part try to expedite your trip. They're not trying to hold you up.
Oh, no. I mean, even, as we know, when you check in now, they'll tell you, they'll send you a text when your room is ready or call you or whatever you set up with them. And they're always looking for ways to get you on with your vacation without having to deal with those things that are necessary but aren't as fun as going to the parks, like, waiting for your luggage or, waiting for your room to be ready or what have you. They're always kind of, on the ball as far as that goes. So I agree totally with what you said.
And I did even learn something the other day when I booked a trip that I didn't really know this. I'm the weirdo that, even though I know how to do self-check-in, I'm a Disney travel agent,
right.
I have my Disney experience, I know how everything works. I still want to check in, Matt, the old-fashioned way. I want to go up and talk to the cast member. I want her to give me my map. I want her to give me my room. I enjoy that.
Right.
That's part of the fun for Doug. It's kind of like some people like to read their Sunday paper still, put their hands on the paper.
Yep, that tactile feel. I mean, I I told you why I don't do online check-in. I did it once when it was first available, only because the novelty of it, it felt cool to check in at our resort 10 days before we actually left home to go to Disney World. Mm-hmm. It made the trip seem closer than mm-hmm. it was, I guess. But after that first time, we've never done it again. And my rationale for that is, if you check in person, if you have a particular room request, or not a special request, but if you want to negotiate for, something, it gives you the opportunity to do that. If you do online check-in, they basically make you pack it up that morning of the day you're going to check in, and it's in a file folder, and when you check in, they just grab it, give it to you, or you go right to your room, I guess, mm-hmm. and if you don't need a map, you can do it that way. But I enjoy being able to, converse with the cast member, because, if you do online, you're not afforded that opportunity. You get whatever they assigned you, whoever the person was in the morning making up the packets, and that's it. You got what they give you.
Yeah, the only and you're right, because I like to talk to the girl, again, like you just said. I like to say, because a lot of times you'll get, I've had it, because I go to least crowded times of the year, sometimes I've gotten room options.
Right.
Do you want to be over here? You want to be over, they'll ask me. And then I go, is there one even further? Which everybody knows that's my MO.
Right.
But I like the whole interaction with the cast member. I feel like I got to know somebody else. I met another wonderful person.
Right.
You know what I'm saying. It's more personal. Yeah. I like the personal experience of Disney. That's the thing I fell in love with, watching the people when I was at Riverside the very first year's pin trading with the kids, and trying to pin trade with you or talk you into just interacting with the cast members. I think that's what makes Disney, because you want to interact with these cast members. There's a lot of parks and resorts that I go to that you don't want to interact with them because they're not nice.
Right. You'd rather avoid them than anything else. But, even something stupid, like, being a DVC member, and even the other resorts do it too, as regular guests or whatever, just hearing them say welcome home is part of the experience for me. And if you go right from the airport, or right from on property to one of the parks in your car, you kind of miss out on that, and that's, you're right, that's what kind of makes Disney World special, is those little things that the cast members do and say upon check-in, or when you're arriving, that make it seem special.
Oh, absolutely. But the one thing that is a positive that I did learn, if you do the self-check-in mode, there's an area that you can check to have your room available when you get there.
And, well, that's nice.
And sometimes the girl, because I just booked Aaron's trip, and when I requested that, she told me when they do self-check-in to tell them to check that box, and it will make it even more of a chance that they'll get it.
Right.
Because now you're not waiting in line. You understand what I'm saying? You're already expediting it by filling it out now. So if you want to have your room available when you get there, you have a better chance of it if you do online check-in.
Well, I mean, maybe they're enhancing the, the way in which that works. I mean, it saves time. I mean, it saves time and money for Disney if they,
They have to have less employees.
Exactly.
That's where they make it. So that's the other reason why I like self-checking, because I know they have, as long as I keep doing it, I'm feeding somebody.
Right. They can't. Right, pretty soon there'll just be an empty lobby with just machines that you punch numbers in, like a, an automatic bank teller or something, right? You won't even deal with a person.
Yeah, that's why I've never deposited my money through the Mac machine. I always use the teller.
Right. Same rationale there, right?
Yes, I want people to work. Like, I will never, very rarely will I ever use self-checkout in the store either.
Right.
I don't
like
doing that because I feel like they have less counter service. It was a couple of our stores, they actually did away with them because nobody was using them.
Yeah, I mean, you go into Home Depot all the time, they have them there. And at my Home Depot up here, I mean, they've seemed like they've added more and more of those self-checkout lines over the years. And, I wouldn't say it's 50-50 now, but it seems like it's heading in that direction.
Yeah, ours has four of them, and they're always open, but we never have four people working the registers, very rarely.
Right.
And I totally, I go off on them for it.
I don't blame you. I mean, I'd rather deal with a person, or if you have a question or whatever, you know, it's just the way it is. And, you know, even McDonald's and all them, you know, with the drive-thrus and all that, I mean, they'd love everybody to go to the drive-thru and never, nobody ever go in the restaurant, because then they wouldn't have to have all those employees.
Yeah, I mean, I just like to, I like to keep people working. I like the interaction, especially at Disney. The cast members are what makes the park, if you, in my opinion. I mean, everything else is beautiful and great, but without those cast members, it wouldn't be what it is.
No, and just think of it this way. If the cast members were nasty, like you referenced some other parks, you know, it wouldn't have the great reputation that it has. I mean, that's the, you know,
the Disney difference.
Right. Exactly. I mean, yes, they have, you know, multi-million dollar attractions and beautiful landscaping, and all those things are great. But without the awesome cast members, it wouldn't be near as great an experience as it is.
No, exactly. And one of the experiences it's proven time and time again, and we've mentioned it on this show a million times, we have certain things we're always on our soapbox about. I'll say it again this week. Disney, give everybody park hopper.
Oh, I thought we were going to go a show without you mentioning
nope,
that.
Nope, we can't. That's tradition now. And I got a lot of backers. The Main Street Pub is behind me.
Oh, you got us free Wi-Fi, so I guess I can't be too critical of you.
Hey, I'm going to take that little token. Even though I know I had absolutely nothing to do with it, I was the first one to be preaching about it.
You were.
But the other thing is, besides the free park hoppers, it's proved time and time again that living with the land is nowhere near the ride it was since they took the cast members away. No, and I don't think self-check-in's the same without going to a cast member. I don't want – it's just so cold and hollow just getting that – grabbing your book and going.
Right, right. No, I agree. I agree. So I guess what we're saying here is do not use online check-in.
No, I don't know. You meet a cast member. Get to know a new person. Add somebody to your life. I think it's a plus.
Yeah, plus it all depends on what your schedule is. I mean, you know, if you were only in town for 2 days and you were doing a quick hitter trip and every hour on property was critical, you might opt for that, where you could just go to the park right out of the box. But if you're going for a week long or a 10-day vacation, and let's say your first day you're not really going to a park anyways, all the more reason not to do online check-in, because you're probably going to hang around the resort and take it all in and kind of get your feet under you that first day anyway. So what's the point?
I hear you. And there's nothing better for me, like when we pull up to the resort, parking like at Riverside there or whatever resort, but I say Riverside because that's where I'm at most, parking in right. The parking lot, the whole family goes in.
Yep.
You walk in to the store, you go into your store there, you look at the River Roost,
Fulton's,
you know, Fulton's General Store, you look at the River Roost. Brenda and Mom will, you know, they always rave about how clean the bathrooms are at Disney, because they, the whole way down, they're yelling and screaming about anywhere we got to stop. You know what right. I mean? Like, we, just to give everybody a hint, the rest areas are the cleanest place to go.
Yeah, stay out of south of the border.
Yeah, oh, it's horrible. And any McDonald's or Burger, I mean, usually the rest areas on 95 are 99% cleaner than anywhere else. Am I wrong about that? And
no,
I always thought the complete opposite.
Yeah, no, that is true. That is true.
But, you know, but the point is, we get there and why the girls roam around and they walk around Fulton's and look out back. And the first thing I do is walk through the door and then I look out back where the boats are. And
right,
then I
right.
go over to check in.
Yep.
And even standing in line, I'm happy.
Right,
it just,
right.
I'm soaking it in. I'm at Disney World. I'm in no hurry now.
Yeah, you got the kids watching the little TVs there.
Yes.
They get set up.
Even if they ain't mine, I think it's cute. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
right.
It's just awesome to see everybody. And then I look around and then you see the angry people. I'm like, you're here at Disney. Why are you angry? It's the only
right.
time I'm not.
Right.
But
yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I like to self check in myself.
No, I agree. There's a lot of benefits to it.
So nothing else in the news, Dan. The only other thing is, and we've talked about this on the last shows, the other added thing I'm looking forward to on our next trip is the Skipper's Canteen. I'm looking. That reminds me so much. And I know it's not the exact, but the way the rooms are set up, it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Yak and Yeti.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that. It looks like they're going to have a lot of artifacts from the Jungle Cruise, and as is in the Yak and Yeti, they got, you know, artifacts from all over the place. So, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, the different decor and the different dining areas, the lot of the decor, like, fits. Like, they have, like, the same design, if you understand what I'm saying. They could fit in the same air.
Right, right.
Yeah, you know, with the way the rafters are and the woodwork, and it's all that same design.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I less care about that and more hope that the food is good. I mean, we've talked about it before, that the Magic Kingdom is somewhat lacking in, you know, good restaurants, and I hope this is the first step in that direction to get some better food options in there. I think it'll be good, but, you know, time will tell, and we'll have to get in there and try it out.
The biggest thing I'm going to be happy about is it'll actually free up some butt space in the other restaurants, because this place is normally always closed.
Right.
So you basically opened up capacity for more, you know, for more space at Columbia Harbor House and the Plaza and the places I like.
Right, right. I mean, you know, I can't tell you how many times we've been shut out at the Magic Kingdom, because most times we don't have an ADR.
Neither do I.
And particularly for lunch, I mean, you know, I told the story about our last trip. I mean, we had planned on going to Columbia Harbor House, but the line was just crazy outside, and we ended up in Pinocchio's. But, you know, you know, Magic Kingdom just needs more, in my view, quality, both sit-down and takeout restaurants. And I don't think this is going to be the be-all, end-all as far as restaurants go. I could see them adding a couple more.
I hope so, because I get so tired of, like, I don't believe that this should have been closed pretty much seasonally, because, I mean, like, the Diamond Horseshoe, that should be open more.
Well, and what about that one over in Tomorrowland, the noodle station there or whatever? I don't get that.
How much more crowded do the parks need to be? Like they opened up the Diamond Horseshoe for this time of year. I mean, Dan, I mean, you were saying you were down, you couldn't even get in Columbia Harbor House.
Nope, couldn't get in the door. It was the line was, you know, 50, 60 deep outside, looping around the building. It was crazy.
So I mean, If it ain't good enough to be open all year, then why do you just open it up seasonally? I don't want to eat in a place that just opens seasonally. It scares me.
Right, right. It's almost like, we'll grab some leftovers, throw them out there to feed these people, you know? It doesn't give you a lot of confidence going in there.
No, this place is open 6 weeks a year. Okay, I want to eat at my place.
Right.
like leave it open so it becomes a place. Somebody wants to go there. Like, do you have any interest in eating at Skipper's Canteen?
I do, only because it's new and something different.
No, I'm sorry, not Skipper's Canteen. I mean the Diamond Horseshoe. Would it be enclosed all year long?
Yeah, no.
I poked my head in to see what's going on, but I don't want to eat there.
No, I really don't have any love for it. You know, I just don't know enough about it, because I've eaten in there once, and it was when I did it. No, I take that back. I haven't eaten in there. I was in California. I got my trips mixed up.
That's okay.
But,
you're getting old, then.
Oh, God. I was going to say when I did the Walk in Walt's Footsteps tour, but that obviously is in California, so it wasn't in the Magic Kingdom.
I mean, it's a nice-looking place. I always walk by it. I mean, it looks nice, but it's just the point. Why aren't you open year-round?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it has to do with, you know, dollars and cents, and, you know, to have the chefs and the waiters and waitresses, whatever support it needs, you know, they much figure they're not going to make enough money doing it. It's got to be, or it'll be open. Why wouldn't they? If they could make, you know, tons of money, why wouldn't they?
I mean, because the same thing with the Skipper's Canteen, where that's located. That used to be open up. What was that? Pirates and Paradise? Pirates? I can't think of the name of it. But that used to be open seasonally, too. Lou, please tell us what the name is.
You're not talking about the Tortuga Tavern.
Yeah, where that used to be, where the Skipper's Canteen used to be, would be open seasonal too.
Right. Yeah. For whatever reason, Magic Kingdom had a bunch and has a bunch of those seasonally operated locations. And I mean, I get it. When the crowds ramp up, they open up more restaurants. I mean, it makes sense from a business perspective. And maybe in the middle of, you know, peak times, but on times when it isn't quite as crowded. But I mean, let's face it, Disney World's always crowded.
Exactly.
Now. Imagine, you know, when isn't it crowded? Maybe 2 or 3 weeks a year.
Exactly. You got all these restaurants. You got Tortuga Tavern. It's open seasonally. You got the Friar's Nook, which I've been in there before. That's open seasonally. You got the Golden Oak Outpost, which is open seasonally. You got the Westward Ho Refreshment Snacks open seasonally. You got Diamond Horseshoe open seasonally. It's like, open these places up, Disney. In Tomorrowland, you got the Tomorrowland Terrace open seasonally.
Right.
Yeah, and you got the fireworks area open seasonally. It's like, why aren't these places, at least half of them, open up more? Because you weren't down at the most crowded time of the year. It was Food and Wine, but it wasn't actually tens on the touring plans list.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I, you know, like I said, I'd love to talk to Disney exec or the president of the Magic Kingdom or whatever, and find out what the rationale is. There's an answer, we just don't know what it is.
Yeah, I mean, they have at the Diamond Horseshoe, they got a turkey sandwich, a barbecue chicken sandwich, and a chef salad, and then they got turkey sandwiches for kids and uncrustable PB&Js. I mean, the menu isn't even where you want to go in there.
No, it's pretty basic.
Yeah, I mean, the point of it is there's, I just counted off 6 or 7 restaurants that are open seasonally. Now, if like I said, if 3 or 4 of them were open year-round, I think it would make the crowds better. Or if they're not good enough to be open only seasonally, we'll make something that should get rid of 5 of them and make 2 more good ones that could be open year-round for us.
Right. Well, I mean, they did a good job with Be Our Guest. I mean, we have issues with it for other reasons. But I mean, as far as the food quality and the theming, it's a great restaurant in that regard. And they could put a couple more of those type restaurants, if you will, in theme to whatever land they're in. And I'm sure they'd do well.
Exactly. The only problem I have with Be Our Guest is from the guests that I book trips for and personal friends of mine.
Right.
They think it's way overpriced. They think the restaurant's beautiful, but for what food you get, they think it's way overpriced.
Yeah, that breakfast offering, we covered that a few shows back, and yeah, it comes at a pretty good cost, but it is popular.
Oh, I'm glad it is, because again, I want these places open so I can have my favorites.
Right.
and I'm not being smart. I hope they become somebody else's favorite. I'm not disparaging anything, but like John said, that my good buddy John, he goes down at least twice a year with his wife, drinks the Kool-Aid like we do.
Right.
And he did the early reservation, the whole 9 yards, and he kind of liked it, but he got my point because he was saying the same thing as we were working on the job together. He goes, I don't know what I'm going to want in 3 weeks from now. I said, neither do I, John. But he ended up eating what he wanted, and he did the they actually ate there twice, his wife had scheduled. They did the breakfast and the lunch.
Right.
And he agreed that the breakfast was ridiculously priced. He said it was good, but he goes, he could have had a bounty platter and been just as happy.
Right.
But the lunch, he said, was good, and the food was good. But again, he said, for what it cost, he'd have rather ate at one of the other restaurants. He said he's glad he did it to see it, but him and his wife won't be going back.
Yeah, a lot of people have that opinion. One and done, they did it, but they'd never go back, or they'd just do a traditional dinner or lunch and, not get involved with these other things.
Well, John said he could do 2 lunches at 2 different places and like it better.
Yeah, right.
2 for the price of 1.
Not spend as much money as one of these things. Yeah, I mean, you might see this booking, vacations and stuff. I mean, is it still hard to get an ADR at all?
No,
and that be,
I haven't had any problems.
So it's loosening up then. The newness has worn off, and it's just becoming just another restaurant at the Magic Kingdom, is what you're saying.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, and some of the other resorts, too, to get me, is like even over at the Animal Kingdom. There's a problem there sometimes finding a place to eat, too. Am I wrong? I'm glad they're adding restaurants there.
Right, right.
But even there, they got the Caravan Road open seasonally, Drink Wallace open seasonally, War Rungs Outpost open seasonally. They got like 4 or 5 different places that are open seasonally. Now, the only one that don't have anything that's open seasonally is Epcot.
Right. Well, I mean, Animal Kingdom I somewhat understand because where they close so early, and we know that's going to change going forward, but at least the way it's always been since it opened, people are generally heading out of the park before dinner time. So really, you're only talking lunch and breakfast for the most part. I mean, or early dinner. But for the most part, people are probably going elsewhere to eat, whether it be in another park, back at their resort, or somewhere else. But I'm willing to bet you're going to see more restaurants come online. Animal Kingdom, you know, with Avatar Land coming on.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, but with the nighttime spectacular, people may travel to Animal Kingdom mid-afternoon now, have dinner, and then go to the show at night. So I think that in itself is going to lend itself to, you know, more restaurants being open and available there.
I mean, I can't wait till that opens because I love Animal Kingdom 1, but it's also going to free up everywhere else.
Yeah, it's going to more evenly disperse the crowds across property. That's what's going to happen, which is good for everyone. I mean, you know, Illuminations is great, but, you know, it'd be a little better if it was, you know, a little more elbow room there. And I think with each of the four parks having a nighttime spectacular, it's going to even it out a bit.
Absolutely. Well, it'll give you more chances to get the dining along, to be able to eat at one of the restaurants and get your preferred seating to watch Illuminations.
Exactly.
Where, you know, Rose and Crown and St. Angelo's, those restaurants are so hard to get reservations around Illumination time.
Oh, yeah, anything after 7 p.m., I mean, it's tough. We've all done it and tried it, and you got to really work at it or get awful lucky in order to score one of those tables. But not that you're going to be able to do it just because Animal Kingdom has a nighttime show, but I think your odds will be much greater, or it'll be a little easier to get than it has been in the past.
No, and I'm excited. I mean, I'm just excited that, like you said, there's going to be, when all these parks are done, you're going to want to be at each of the parks at least once, one night during your entire trip to see the spectacular.
Absolutely, and that's smart on Disney's part, and it's a shame taking so long at the Animal Kingdom, but, you know, it is what it is, and they've made the change, and, you know, shortly here we're going to see the results of all that work.
Thinking outside the box, then, when's going to be the fireworks show or spectacular that they're going to do at Disney Springs? I wouldn't be surprised if they did something out there on the water.
Yeah, I mean, you would think. Yeah, I mean, I could see that. I could absolutely see that.
I mean, it's just thinking outside the box. I know you're not paying admission, but I'm sure that all the club owners and all the people that own restaurants, wouldn't they be happy to see something going on that lakefront at night? Wouldn't that drum up business?
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, it's already pretty packed down there. But, yeah, I mean, you said it, I think, last show, and we've said it many a time. I mean, it's almost becoming a fifth gate down there now. So you might start to see some of these things that, you know, we haven't typically seen formerly Downtown Disney and now Disney Springs. You're right. There's plenty of room there in the waterway. And imagine being at Fulton's looking out the window and watching some sort of nighttime spectacular. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, like I said, when Epcot does do its refurbishment, because, you know, within the next 10 years, something's going to be announced there.
As far as Illuminations changing?
Illuminations changing. I wouldn't even be surprised with how popular the park is if they don't finally build their lands behind that. They were supposed to be the second lagoon.
Wow.
You know, I'm just saying, that's the only thing I could think of that would fit with that park.
Yeah, I mean, you know, not to rehash the whole thing, but I'm pretty sure there are, I'm going to say, three parcels of land around the existing lagoon that are big enough to house three additional countries, and all they'd have to do is clear out the vegetation that exists there now. So whether they'd add those three first and then do a second lagoon or whatever, who knows? But I think you'd see adds to the existing lagoon before they would build another one, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, well, that was the original plans at one time, that there was going to be a second area where you walk back and more. You understand what I'm saying? But I could see something like that, and I could see when all that's going on, I could honestly see sooner or later some kind of food and wine being at Disney Springs.
Yeah.
I could even see a local festival of that, because it's so popular.
Yeah, I mean, you could run that year round, and there's, you know, that venue down there, it lends itself to that type of you know, that type of offering, without doubt.
Because it's more adult atmosphere, and my point is, if they continue to go the route that you're not happy with adding characters to World Showcase, and I'm not trying to disparage you or be, I'm not trying to start picking on you, but I know you don't like that. But my point is, if they continue to do that, go that route, because they put the cartoons in Mexico, now they're doing it in Maelstrom, you know what I mean, in Norway.
Right.
And if they add them in more and more of the countries, it becomes more kid area. Maybe that'll more tend to put Food and Wine towards Springs, because that's more, it's a more of an adult area district.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I would draw the line, and that I would disagree with you. I don't, at least in my lifetime, I don't see Epcot losing Food and Wine.
No, but I'm saying if they go under a major refurbishment, you follow me.
Yeah, but I, regardless of what may or may not happen at Disney Springs, Epcot isn't going to lose the Food and Wine Festival. No way.
No, I don't think so either, Dan, but I'm just putting it out there. If they do refurbishments or they do change it, I mean, who knows? Disney has done things that I didn't think was going to happen. Like, I never thought Illuminations would go. What would you do if that way?
And isn't gone yet.
Yeah, but it's I hope not either, because everybody knows who listens to this show. I see it a minimum of 3 times every trip.
Right. Oh, it's going to go. I mean, we've heard from, unofficial sources, but at some point all of the infrastructure that goes into running that show, all the underground piping and the gas lines and, all that stuff, even if they were going to keep it existing, they'd have to do a major refurbishment just to change out all that stuff. And if they're going to do that, they might as well change it to something else. So it's going to go at some point, just a matter of when.
No, I hear you. I just don't ever want to see it happen. I love my Illuminations, man. It don't get any better than that.
Bob's probably throwing his radio across the room or something. He's very upset at that.
Yeah, well, especially after losing Maelstrom. I think he was worse over that than you.
Nah, I don't think so. He's just like he said, he has family memories that are tied to that, so I get it.
No, absolutely. I just think he was more upset than you were. You were a little angry, but he was actually hurt.
Yeah, well, I mean, everyone has their favorites, and,
Dude, I understand. I get it. I mean, I feel bad for him. I wouldn't have mattered to me either way. I loved the ride, but it didn't matter to me either way.
Right. You had no skin in the game on that one.
No, we did it every time, but because of what there is to do back there. For us, it's awesome, because I don't mind. I enjoy walking through all the stores and everything else. But as far as the ride, when that was considered the second E attraction of that park, it's pretty sad. It was before Soarin' came for a while, it was.
Right. Right. Oh, I never looked at it as that. I mean, to me, I think I made this point. I more attach it to something like It's a Small World, just traditional Disney, more than an E attraction. That definitely wasn't an E. But I know what you're saying. For what Epcot had to offer for attractions, it was, or they had it listed on the, on the My Disney Experience. It was in the top tier, I think, is what you're saying.
Well, years ago, when we first started going back in, before Soarin' came in effect,
right?
I mean, that was like the major, one of the major attractions. It was like one of the best things to do there as far as a ride.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, you're right. I mean, there wasn't many attractions.
It was Test Track and that.
Right, right.
Because Test Track came before Soarin'.
Yep.
So basically, you had Test Track and Maelstrom. If you looked at the wait board, that was the second longest of all of them.
Right. Because there wasn't much else, there was Spaceship Earth and, well, you're talking about World Showcase, right?
I'm talking about all of Epcot. I mean, it was Maelstrom and Test Track were your two major rides.
Yeah. Or you could look at it another way, too, that, Epcot, even though it's one park, and I realize that it is, it's really two parks that were stuck together, and World Showcase was kind of a different animal. I mean, Future World is had most of, not all of the attractions, and World Showcase was really not meant to have, attractions, particularly e-ticket attractions. It was more subtle things like the movies and all that stuff that tied directly to the countries that they were in. So, I mean, if you look at it like that, it's two separate parks. It comes out a little differently.
But it was the two major things that all the kids wanted to do. Is if you wanted to do rides, that was it. I mean, to be honest, the first time you seen it, you thought it was more thrilling than what it was when you seen the boat coming out.
Right, right. Yeah, the buildup was more than the ride actually offered when you were on it.
Exactly. I'll be honest. The very first time, I was disappointed. I liked it, but I was disappointed because I'm thinking there's some kind of major drop when you're going backwards. Because the way it makes you feel, even when you know what it does, it kind of builds it up a little bit. Like there's going to be it fools you even though you know it's going to happen, that this drop's going to be cool.
Right, right.
When you do the whole backup mode there. But weren't you disappointed the first time you went on it?
I wouldn't say I was disappointed.
You had to expect more of a thrill.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I don't even remember how I felt about it the very first time I went on it. I can't really remember what my reaction was. But
I still remember me and Bren when they backed us up there and got ready to catapult you. We were all holding on thinking it was going to be something cool.
Right,
we were in the back of the boat, so I really couldn't see out the front. Like, I was looking out. When I went back, I still remember it. I was looking out the doors.
Right.
Out the window there, looking at the park. And I'm thinking, I'm holding her. I'm like, here we go. And we did nothing.
It's kind of like the drop in Pirates, right? That's the extent of it.
Exactly. I mean, I fell in love with the ride. It became, like you said, it's a small world of Pirates to me. I love the ride. But I don't know. It isn't like it's going to kill me that it's gone.
Yeah. But, yeah. No, I mean, eventually all the classic Disney, you know, except for Haunted Mansion, Pirates, or whatever, they'll get rid of all of them. I mean, even the one in Mexico, they enhance with the cartoons, like you said.
Yeah.
You know, at some point, that'll probably go away. I mean, they're just going to get so old, and they need major refurbishments, and it may be cheaper in the long run to just get rid of it and start over with something else.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just waiting. I can't wait to hear what the changes are going to be when that finally comes. Like, look how far ahead of ourselves we are. You got Toy Story Land, you got Star Wars Land, you got Avatar Land. We're talking about Epcot. Tell me we ain't barroom geeks.
Yeah. Oh, we got plenty to talk about, plenty of new things to enjoy in the, you know, both near future and out 10 years, right?
Well, we'll continue. I'm going to pay the tab then. We had too many. All we did is barroom banter today, which was a lot of fun. I mean, it was after Christmas time. We really didn't want to plan anything. We just wanted to talk about Disney because that's what we like to do.
That's what we do best.
It's just fun sometimes going off on these tangents then where nothing's really planned. We're just having fun like we normally. That was the whole idea of our show, was to just get our Disney fix in every week.
Yeah, and listeners can enjoy listening to us banter back and forth, heading to work or whatever they might be doing, out jogging or whatever. So if we keep you entertained a little bit, we've done our job.
And we appreciate you guys, and we can't wait. We want to wish you guys all a happy, safe, and wonderful New Year.
Yes, yes. 2016 is upon us here, and off to the races for another year.
Yeah. One of my New Year's resolutions, then, is we're going to try to make this show better. But we're not going to try too hard, because then nobody will like us.
Set the bar so low, we'll accomplish that, no problem.
Yeah, we're sitting at a 3 now, Dan. I'm hoping to get us up to, like, a 5.
Okay. If we can hit a 5, we're doing good.
And please, guys, if you enjoy the show, please go over to iTunes and leave us a review. We'd really appreciate it. We just got another one that was happy to hear you're back then. It had hashtag pull up a stool is what the heading was.
Nice, nice. Yep. That'll look good on a t-shirt, I bet.
Exactly.
It's coming.
Yeah, it's going to be sooner than later, guys.
Right, right.
Yeah, slow down, look around, enjoy the view, pull up a stool, and bring back the skippers living with the land.
There you go.
There are
they
shirts.
They did bring them back. They're over at the skipper's cantina.
Yeah, they did get their job back. They kept their uniforms and brought them over there. But, yeah, guys, please go leave us a review. We'd really appreciate it. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. And we got some really good interviews coming up the first of the year I think you guys will enjoy. We want to thank all of our friends again, and we will talk to you real soon.
Okay, Doug, see you next week.
Snow glows white on the mountain tonight, not a footprint to be seen. A kingdom of isolation, and it looks like I'm the queen. The wind is howling like this swirling storm inside. Couldn't keep it in, heaven knows I tried. Don't let them in, don't let them see. be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know. Well, now they know. Let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go, let it go. It's funny how some distance makes everything seem small, and the fears that once controlled me can't get to me at all. It's time to see what I can do to test the limits and break through. No light, no rope, no rules for me.
Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.